You're aware that that's going on. We're rolling. So why did you become a docent? When did you become a docent? And how did you become a docent?
Well, let's see. I attended one of the lectures.
Okay.
I started in out of college working in a wind tunnel for North American Aviation.
Okay. Another wind tunnel guy. Yeah. All right. Well, I was just talking with Fred, who's...
Yeah, Fred. Fred and I were parallel course.
Okay.
Although I only spent about 6 years there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I, having gone to UCLA...
Oh, a Bruin. You're the first Bruin I've got. Okay, go ahead.
Right? Yeah. It gets more interesting.
Okay.
I worked in research there, went into the Army, came back, and finished my degree, worked in research for a while, went to graduate school. I had gotten married since out of the service.
Let me interrupt you really quick. What did you major in at UCLA? What did you get your degree in?
General engineering.
Okay.
Those days you... We're a general engineer.
And that was good enough, huh?
Well, that's what you gave you.
Yeah.
Originally, the fourth year was to be at Berkeley, but then...
Okay. So it was general engineering, and you said you went to graduate school?
I went to graduate school, and my advisor says, if you're not going to school full-time, you're not going to get your doctorate. So okay. I went to SC and got my master's.
Okay.
In aerospace engineering.
All right.
I'm essentially a rocket scientist or an aerodynamist.
Okay. Aerospace engineering, was that the 2-year program? Or?
Yeah, it could have been. I was working at the time.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, because I had a family at that time.
Okay, yeah. That's good stuff.
But then I left North American and went to work with a company called Space Technology Laboratories.
Okay.
STL. Which later became known as TRW.
Of course, okay.
Thompson Rainbow Woodridge. I worked on the Titan missile system.
Yeah,
reentry physics.
Yeah, Mort. Mort was a TR.
That's right. He was a TRW.
Were you guys there? Did you guys know each other?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So paths would cross.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
It was probably a big facility.
Well, not a facility. There were about, when I was there, there were 5,000 employees.
Okay.
It's been doubled, tripled by that. We worked on various programs. We consulted to the Air Force.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the ballistic missile.
Sure.
Area. I worked on the Titan missile system. So from wind tunnels, I went to really missiles. And then I went into essentially rockets.
Okay, interesting. I haven't talked about rockets yet today, so I'm looking forward to some details about that.
Well, I can tell you the fuels you use in Titan.
Okay. All right.
Storable propellants.
Okay. Yeah. Those flammable.
Hypergolic.
Yeah.
What is that? That means an oxidizer and a fuel. Bring them together, and
that's
combustion.
That's the deal.
You don't have to ignite anything.
It's okay. Gone. Okay. So the
Titan II missile is
okay.
Dimethyl unsymmetrical hydrazine.
Wow. All right.
And nitrogen tetroxide.
Okay. So you're talking about bringing the gases together?
Fluids.
They're not fluids.
Okay. They're liquids.
Okay. Yeah. Again, if any of this comes, I'm as raw as it gets.
That's quite all right.
I feel like I've learned a lot just today. So you attended a lecture. Were you a member? Did you be?
No, I don't think I was a member at that time.
Uh-huh.
But they wanted volunteers. I had been a... docent at a maritime museum.
Oh, how about that?
Maritime Museum in San Pedro.
Uh-huh.
At the foot of 6th Street in San Pedro.
There's a
maritime museum.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly sailing. I'm not really a sailor, although I have sailed
mm-hmm.
races and so forth, and sailed the Caribbean and the 50-foot catch.
Wow.
But sailing wasn't my forte, since I was more interested in, had been in airplanes.
Okay.
And they have a small section here of space, and I had been into space, so...
I'm sorry, say that again? You?
I said most of this was aircraft.
But you've been into space?
Not really.
Oh.
The industry of putting things into space.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to remember that. Don't take me literally.
Okay. But yeah, though, I think it's important, though. So you're connected to the space industry.
Space. I've worked on...
So when I hear TRW, I should immediately associate that with space, correct? Or not correct?
We had everything.
Okay, all right.
We had a potpourri of of high-speed transportation.
Wow, yeah.
Other aspects of... well, at the time, it was built to consult to the Air Force to put together an intercontinental ballistic missile.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, wow. The Cold War.
That's important. Yeah.
Right. So we worked on reentry physics.
Okay.
In other words, once you launch something into space, you got to bring it back and make it survive.
Yeah, and hopefully
that was survival.
Yeah.
I also worked on what was referred to as decoys.
Okay.
Which, if you've got something coming in, is that real or is it a decoy?
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
So it's physics.
Ah, it's good. Yeah, that's great.
So that's why I'm here, in the sense I know aircraft.
Okay.
I worked on the design of aircraft and wind tunnels at North American.
All right.
And how they evolve, as well as things in space.
Yeah.
And how you get up there and make it survive. And
it's fantastic. Do you remember who asked you to be a docent?
No.
All right.
I don't think anyone really asked me. I said I will be.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the nature of volunteering.
That's right. Yeah, that's the, well, having been at the museum, in the Maritime Museum, it was part of going in that says, yeah, I can provide information.
That's great. Yeah.
Earlier, I was also a trainer for scouting scout leaders. I trained Boy Scout leaders that trained the scout leaders.
Okay, gotcha. Wow. Oh, so you're an outdoorsman.
Oh, yes.
All right.
I've climbed Whitney many times.
Yeah, you know, I myself have climbed Whitney once, only once, when I was younger. We were fortunate enough to catch it at the right time, and we did the 17-hour summit and back.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've gone a week.
Yeah.
Coming from the backside.
Oh, so you've done the mountaineering?
Oh, gosh, for weeks.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Wow, that's serious stuff.
I've done the whole John Muir Trail.
Wow.
None once. And that's 50 miles.
Uh-huh.
No, but in seconds. Start at Yosemite.
Wow.
Come through. You're operating about 10,000 feet all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not...
Up and down through the passes.
Yeah, no, that's not...
come up Whitney from the backside.
Yeah, that's tough sledding. That's,
yeah.
Okay, so...
Guitar Lake. So you've come from the back, from the front side.
Yeah, it was just that, you know, you leave. It was a late August. You got to leave at 3 a.m.
under
moonlight.
My grandson has climbed that cross country, Boy Scout Lake and up.
Oh.
In the winter. No thanks.
Uh huh. What's your favorite thing about being a docent? What's your favorite
here,
thing? Yeah.
Watching the expressions on children.
Okay.
And the fact, the innocent look. And having to explain to them the reality of flying and the reality of space.
Okay.
My one demonstration here is to take a balloon that looks like a basketball and ask them, if this is the sun, how big is the earth?
All right, yeah.
They have no idea.
Yeah, pin drop or tuck, yeah.
70 thousandths of an inch.
Yeah.
That's an 8-inch basketball.
Uh-huh.
Next question is, it's space. How far away is it? This far?
Uh-huh.
It's from here to the wall.
All right.
93 yeah. million miles, 72 feet there.
Yeah.
That gives them a good feel for it.
Yeah. I saw one recently as well that was comparing the size of our sun, right?
Yes.
Which is a relatively...
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the next thing. I don't go that far because that blows their mind
to
begin with.
Yeah.
The next thing is to see... You know, we talk about airplanes and how fast it goes, and we relate that to how fast sound goes.
Mm-hmm.
Sound going, the speed of a plane going the speed of sound, that's called Mach 1.
Mm-hmm.
Mach 1. This plane flies 1.4, like 1,000 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on the B-70, which I did the wind tunnel testing on that. That goes Mach 3. It's about 2,000 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about putting missiles up, they'll go pretty fast.
Yeah.
But the next thing is, okay, we're working on a telescope and light, photons from things way far away. How fast is light?
All right.
So to give them a feel for light is, if you go around the Earth 7.5 times, in 1 second. That's the speed of light. That blows their mind.
Okay.
But that's what I'm trying to get to. And when you said, what do I like? I like to let them feel of what things really are in their terms.
All right, so kind of giving them some context around their daily lives.
Yeah. I used to do that with scouting, too.
Okay.
Put them in the woods and see what they do.
I think that, I think that's really fantastic, though, that you're able to bring in your own experiences and explain that to them. What is your favorite thing / what's your favorite exhibit or area of the museum to talk to the kids with about?
I talk to them about the Harrier,
okay,
which is a jump jet, and why it's called a jump jet, and why it's really a short takeoff,
mm-hmm,
because you don't want to screw up the engine with all those rocks,
mm-hmm,
coming in if you took off vertically in a rough land. The other thing is the space area, to give them a feel for what is space and what's out there and what could be there if we really knew what was there.
All right, yeah.
I mean, you look at the stars. Well, that's not really a star. That's a galaxy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's a whole galaxy.
Yeah, there's thousands of stars in that.
In the galaxy. And the fact that we're in a galaxy, the Milky Way. You don't know where it is until you go to the desert. Many inner city children have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not seeing what really all the stars that are in our galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
We had students from the Watts area.
Yeah, LA, USP.
And
sure.
They, that's why I put a special picture of what the Milky Way galaxy, and said, you know, what you see are stars. What you may see is also planets, but you really see galaxies. And what our job is to put something up there that we can measure.
Yeah.
And see what else is there.
I think that's, I think that's really
so
important.
So when you said, what do I like to, that's the area.
Seeing them kind of,
yes, relate.
Turn it on.
Right. Some do, some don't. Some it goes over their head, but maybe
okay.
You might get a feel for people.
And you never know, even though it might feel like some people aren't listening, it still gets in there
that's
sometimes.
Right.
And they just, you know, trigger. Who knows when it triggers
right.
or when it goes off.
That's right.
So the Harrier, talking about the jump jets and the dangers
right.
there, and then the space area. And you said you developed an area of that. You put in a special, image about the galaxy.
I expanded it into their terms.
Good.
That they could feel for it.
All right. So I like that. That's all really good information. But what I really like is getting to know you a little bit better, because the idea is that we're going to get to know the docent. So when did your love of aviation begin? Do you remember a specific moment from your childhood? Or at any
point?
I
was an Air Scout during World War II. Now, an Air Scout is a branch of scouting that's no longer in existence. They have Sea Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in Ohio, north of Dayton, Ohio. And we were spotters, spotting the airplanes going over. And someone says, that looks like a P-51, which was a very popular aircraft. It was an German ME-109 had been captured. So spotting those things was interesting. So that was when I first said, I want to be a pilot.
Okay.
Well, my eyes weren't probably good enough, and my father came back from Australia and said, at the end of the war, pilots are going to be a dime a dozen. But they really want people to be, you know...
Build
design.
Yeah, okay.
So I worked in research in college.
Okay.
And that was a good adjunct.
Okay. Yeah. Did you grow up in... So you said you grew up in Ohio.
Right.
How'd you come out to UCLA?
No, my father had a job out here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, so you grew up in Ohio. Did you go to high school in Southern California?
I finished high school in Southern California.
Where'd you finish
high school? North Hollywood.
North Hollywood? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just before John Williams.
What's John Williams?
Star Wars, the theme from Star Wars.
Okay.
John Williams went to high school.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there were a lot of...
Oh, okay.
In fact, I knew his first wife, Ina. Trying to think of her name right now.
Right, yeah.
She has since passed away.
Uh-huh. So your dad said maybe it'd be a good idea if you...
Well, he just commented.
Okay. All right. So then you went to UCLA, started studying.
Right.
Were you a fit, and were you connected to the aviation industry while you were at UCLA? Did you?
I did some research in heat transfer. We were looking at the effects. We didn't know it at the time, but it was the effect of dropping a bomb and a hydrogen bomb
mm-hmm.
or an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
And how does it affect the aircraft? That's
the weight displacement or the
the radiation from it. I mean, you drop a bomb and it goes off.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you got to get.
You could fry the aircraft.
Wow. So you were working with radiation?
Yeah.
Wow.
Radiation heat transfer.
Okay. So you were doing research at UCLA about that? Wow, that's exciting. That seems fairly cutting edge.
It is.
What were your friends working on at the time? That seems like you were kind of doing a little bit more advanced stuff, probably. Anyway, I guess that doesn't... Yeah, yeah. I guess there's a compliment in there is what I'm trying to say.
Well, one of my friends was a dentist.
All right.
He became a dentist.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And so you were always kind of... admiring of aviation?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
If you could choose one aeronautical device to fly in, a plane, a jet of any sort, maybe a space shuttle, a glider, which device would you choose to fly in and why? Yeah, if you could choose any aeronautical device in the history of aeronautical devices.
I would like to fly in a sailplane.
In a sailplane? Okay.
Yes.
Tell me about why.
Just because it's not going fast. And you're at the mercy of the updraft of the winds.
Okay.
And essentially, you have no propulsion other than...
you're a naturalist. That's what you're an outdoorsman, and you just want the wind.
I've never done... I've done parasailing.
Okay.
I did parasailing in Mexico.
Okay.
But that's just a parachute, and you're hanging on.
Tell me more about a sailplane. I don't know if I know enough
about it. It's a glider.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a glider.
Does it tow?
My son lives in Tehachapi.
Uh-huh.
And they have an airport there.
Yeah.
And that's what they do out of there, is they tow gliders,
mm-hmm.
release them, and then the gliders fly the winds above the Sierras.
Yeah. Have you? So you've never.
I've never done that.
Yeah, but you'd want to.
You asked the question.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get you in a sailplane. We could probably make that happen, right? Are you still up for it?
No.
Okay.
Probably not.
Yeah. So that's another.
I don't like roller coasters.
Interesting.
Well, okay.
Did you ever obtain? Are you a pilot?
No.
Okay.
No. I have flown a plane.
Okay.
But I've never.
You weren't licensed.
That's correct. My neighbor was a fireman. He had a twin-engine Baron that used to fly on it. He was the battalion commander of the fire station in San Pedro, the whole harbor area.
Yeah, all right.
He had a twin-engine Baron. His partner was the, I guess you could call it, president of North American Aviation. Where I worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had a twin-engine Baron, two engines, and we used to fly from here, it was at Lamprini Field, to Catalina for coffee.
Oh. Oh.
And watch the start of the Transpac yacht race.
Okay. And so it was an annual kind of thing for
you? Well, we did it a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's when I got the thrill of really flying. If you've ever flown in and out of the airport in the sky at Catalina, it's a hump. It's curved. And when you come to the cliff at the end, you get two things. The land drops off, and you get an updraft in the wind, and you really rise real quick.
All right.
You get a real feel.
Okay.
I didn't have the controls then, but I can imagine I know what it felt like. It's like a Disney ride, and you're going up. You're pulling vertical G's.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like that might have been an answer to my last question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Go ahead.
Do you have a favorite story or experience involving aviation?
That's one.
Yeah. Do you have another one you can lay on me?
The plane behind you is called an F-86. And not this one, but the other one, F-86. It has a swept wing. Now, North American designed a passenger plane with that wing. It's called a T-39 Sabreliner. The original design had the engines in what we refer to as the wing root. Here's the fuselage, here's the wing, and the engine was sitting in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a swept wing. Plane's going this way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was in charge of testing that in a wind tunnel, small model, about 3 feet across, running pretty high speed, and I was asked to do all the characteristics. How does it perform? Does it perform like we're expecting? And I went to the chief aerodynamicist and said, I've tried all my tricks of making it stall stable. In other words, at high angle of attack, will it recover? No, it keeps going over on its back.
Mm.
If they had built it, it wouldn't have been stable.
Mm-hmm.
Any high angle of attack would keep on going.
Yeah. Couldn't bring it. Yeah. Wouldn't come back?
Wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
So they took the engines out and put them in the rear.
Oh.
Like some aircraft have now.
Sure.
And what the airplane is now, which is called the Sabreliner.
Okay.
Has two engines. And so as a result of that, you know, my idea said, let's move the engines.
That was your idea, to move the engines to the back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Says I couldn't make it stall right. Whether it was my idea or was it, I couldn't get it to stall stable. I tried changes in the wing design, put fences on it, just couldn't get the flow over.
Yeah.
The model was in a wind tunnel. It was a atmospheric test section, 7 feet by 11 feet.
Yeah.
We opened the top. I took a big stick and put a tuft of yarn on the end of the stick, and I went all the way across the wing trying to figure out where the flow is and how we can cause it to maintain the center of pressure behind the center of mass. And
yeah. All right.
Make it stall right.
So you ever see planes of similar design and think to yourself, that's my influence? Like,
well, at TRW we had three of those aircraft.
All right. Yeah.
And so I've flown in it.
Uh-huh.
From here to Norton Air Force Base.
Yeah, and no, that's it's going to be stable because.
Well, the other thing is, they wanted a high cruise Mach number, which meant as you get closer to the speed of sound, the shockwave sits. Compressibility comes about. Here is the cockpit, and there's the nose, and the shock would sit about right here.
Okay.
And the drag goes up, so you got to need more power to get through there.
Yeah.
We shaved the top a little bit, moved it back. We got a higher cruise velocity, Mach number.
All right, fantastic.
My neighbor behind me was a colonel in the Air Force, and he flew that, and he says, I keep hitting my head on this cockpit. Why didn't you design this thing with more headroom? So I told him why, and he says, yeah, I can see. I prefer the higher cruise Mach number and hit my head
rather than
than a lower cruise Mach number have headroom.
Okay, yeah.
So
all
those
right.
are little tips.
Yeah, more performance out of that.
Yes.
Yeah, higher performance.
Right.
All right, Jack. Well, I got pretty much everything I need. I guess the last thing I want to ask you is this. Is there anything specifically about your experiences being a docent or here at the museum that you feel we didn't touch upon that you'd like to highlight?
Probably not.
Probably not. All right. My man. I like it. A casual approach. It's good. Good. So I'm going to turn this off because I think we got it.